It is truly a blessing that we are here again tonight. I say that sincerely. I recognize it to be nothing but an absolute blessing. On my way home this evening from the school building, I met a gentleman in a big pickup, and he's talking on the phone, and he is almost on my side on the yellow line. And I'm thinking, I sure hope soon that he'll recognize that something is wrong here. And he jerked his truck just in time for me to escape it. That's just the blessing of God. And we fight these things, or we face these kinds of trials and temptations and whatever you want to call them all the time, and God gets us through them. And we recognize that that was the case today. I'm truly grateful for the invitation to be here. And it is my prayer that God will use us in such a way that each of us will be brought closer to Him and closer to our understanding of His will for our lives and for the lives of the world. I'd like to direct your attention tonight to John chapter 6. And we plan to use the Bible quite a bit tonight. John chapter 6. And we'll begin at verse number 44, where the Bible says, in fact, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent him draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." He continues, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." And in this text, Jesus speaks of God's drawing power and the necessity of one being drawn to Him. We might ask the question, just what is this drawing power? And can we know? Let me give you some suggestions of what people have said is this drawing power of God. There are those who say it's like a giant magnet that sweeps one off of his feet. Is it? There are others who say that it's some kind of mysterious, compelling, irresistible force that can't really be explained. Well, that can't being explained is why they might say something like that. Is it merely a good but hard to relate to feeling? Or is it some emotional, heart-rending experience? Is it simply a sudden awareness in the heart? Now we are a people who walk by faith and not by sight, which means you got to show me what you think the Bible teaches and why the Bible teaches that particular idea that you come up with. And if you can't show it to me in the Bible, then I'm going to tell you, I'm just not going to believe it. But if you can show me in the Bible, then I'm going to believe it, because it's what the Bible says. There's a reason why Jesus told his disciples to go teach and go preach. Jesus is teaching what the prophets of old had hinted at when they said things like, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. The text is almost identical in Micah 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus commissioned his apostles to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." According to Matthew, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, and even until the end of the world. Amen. There's a reason why Jesus said, go teach, go preach. Mankind were taught of God's love. They were taught that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They were taught, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. They were taught, God is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They were also taught of the provisions God made in Christ Jesus, such as, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that in 1 John 4:14, John says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Hebrews writer says, we see Jesus a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Every man. And then we can hear Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus said, they shall be all taught of God, as it is written in the prophets. And then he says, every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. That's my lesson, so I want you to hear it again. Jesus said, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now that's the drawing power. I'm going to say up front, that's the drawing power. But I'd like for us to see it happen in conversions throughout the Bible. So we're going to be looking at a lot of Bible texts tonight. I want us to first look at those on the day of Pentecost and how what Jesus said and how they were converted to Christ fit hand in hand. They shall all be taught of God. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father, he says, cometh unto me. And I'm going to begin the text reading in verse number 22 of Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. Peter's preaching and he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wouldst not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and that his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Peter says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, notice how Luke goes on to describe. Now, that was the conclusion of Peter's sermon. Notice how they respond. Now, when they heard this, wait. They had been taught, hadn't they? Now, when they heard this, the Bible says, they were pricked in their heart. They had learned something and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, notice what Peter tells them to see how the drawing power met its fruition. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. These folk and their conversion to Christ, they met hand in hand what Jesus said. They were taught. They heard. They learned. They came. Look at Acts chapter 8. At those in Samaria. Verse 5 beginning. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Notice he preached Christ unto them. They were taught. And the people, with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. They heard, they learned, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, for time's sake, look at verse 12. And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were what? Baptized, both men and women. Now, wait a minute. Those on the day here in Samaria, just like the day of Pentecost, they were taught. They heard, they learned, then they came to Jesus. They were taught. They heard, they learned, then they came. Let's stay in Acts chapter 8. Let's begin at verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert or deserted. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, or Isaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Just like those on the day of Pentecost. Just like those in Samaria. This eunuch had to be taught, and he was. He had to hear, and he heard. He had to learn, and he did. And we know he learned because he was the one who says, "Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And then he came to Jesus. But if that's not enough, let's look at chapter 16. We could look at chapter 10. We could look at chapter 9. We could look at all the conversions in the Bible. There will be no exceptions. Look at chapter 16, beginning at verse number 13. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Now let's back up. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we, Luke including himself, went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont or known to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She learned. We're not surprised to see in verse 15, "And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." No exceptions. They all were taught of God. They learned or heard and learned. And then they came in obedience. Let's stay here in chapter 16. Verse 25 beginning. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he came for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. The jailer had to be taught, and he was. He had to hear it. He had to have learned something, and he asked a marvelous question, "What must I do to be saved?" And when they answered that, he came to Jesus. And, oh, let's look at one more. Chapter 18. The account here is relatively brief. We'll begin at verse number 7. And he departed thence, talking about Paul, departing from the synagogue, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. I'm just simply trying to say tonight, Jesus says that you can't come to me unless the Father which sent him, Jesus, draw us. And then he proceeded to tell how we're drawn to God. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. And without exception, without a single exception, every single person in the Bible who were converted to Christ were converted by those means. They were taught. They had to hear it. By the way, y'all know that there's a difference between somebody teaching and somebody hearing. As a school teacher, I know it all so well that I am a failure as a school teacher if I'm just teaching to the wind and nobody's hearing it. They got to have some assessments to make sure that what they're being taught is what they're actually learning. And I give tons of assessments. Ultimately, there is a state assessment which holds me accountable as well as them. And so having taught something is not the same thing necessarily as having heard it. It reflects back on the person who's being taught. They have to listen and pay close attention, which explains why Lydia attended unto those things which we have spoken. She's paying attention, man. She's really focused on what was being said. So Jesus said, you've got to be taught, and then you got to hear and learn of the Father. Then, he says, cometh unto me. And without exception, that was the case. On the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 were taught, they heard, they learned, and then they came. In Samaria, there were those who were taught, heard, learned, and came. Riding in his chariot, Ethiopian eunuch, he has some interest. He's reading Isaiah. He wants to know more about this. What is this? Who is this man talking about? And of course, Isaiah 53 is talking about Jesus. And so the Bible says that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. He preached Jesus. And he taught more than just the man. He taught the plan as well. And we know he taught the plan because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the eunuch says, here is water, whether it hinder me to be baptized. That's the plan. And he was taught it. He had learned it for him to ask such wonderful questions as that. And so when he answered, if you believe, if you're willing to confess, you may. And he did, and they were and he was baptized. We didn't talk about Saul, but Saul had to be taught. And if we know the story of Saul's conversion, you know that God prepared Ananias to go teach him. And Ananias is afraid of Paul. I've heard much about this man. And he, God had to tell Ananias, he's my chosen vessel. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Just go teach him. He had to be taught. He had to be taught. In Cornelius' case, it's a marvelous story because the Holy Spirit comes upon Cornelius to convince Peter and the other Jewish brethren who are there that these were great candidates for baptism. Because then Peter says, who can forbid that these men should be baptized as well as we? Can any man forbid? And of course, realizing that they were absolutely great candidates for the gospel call. But they had to be taught, and they were. And Peter, the one who would open the doors of the kingdom, he opened it on the day of Pentecost for the Jews. And of course, Peter would be the one who would open the doors in the case of Cornelius for the Gentiles. Lydia, wonderful story. But she had to be taught. She had to hear and had to learn before she could come. The jailer, another example. He had to be taught. he had to hear, he had to learn so that he could come. And then it's amazing how the wording is here in Acts chapter 18 for concerning the Corinthians. They hearing, believed, and were baptized. In other words, they were taught, they heard, they learned, and then they came. Now, we offer some ideas that some people are proposing as other possibilities for what that drawing power of God is. And we still are waiting for explanations. Just show me one place in the Bible where it talks about God's drawing power being something like some big magnet. And just as I thought, silent as the stars, it's not there. All of the examples that we cited tonight show thousands of people being drawn to God just as Jesus taught. Just as Jesus taught. Well, as we pointed out last night, the gospel hasn't changed and never will. Has it not changed? It won't ever change. Our world just needs that same saving gospel that they taught. And so today, you are a candidate for baptism, having been taught, having heard, and having learned. You can be drawn to Jesus just the way Jesus said. Just the way he said. And I'm telling you, there's no feeling like doing what the Lord says and having the book to verify this is what I did in order to attain salvation. Nothing like it in the world. Whereas you can follow the supposed ideas of men. Oh, they can come up with some. I'm waiting for the man to come up with the idea to go climb a coconut tree in order to be saved. I mean, it's just a matter of time. You come up with anything else, why not come up with that? Or jump 10 times in the air and say, whoop-de-doo! And all of a sudden, salvation might be just pronounced on you. But it does one no good if we don't have book, chapter, and verse for what we've done. And salvation is too important to trust the words of men when they can't verify it in the Word of God. Why not be taught, hear it, learn it, then be drawn to Jesus the way the Bible says? You can do that tonight, and you can leave here right with God and having the Bible to confirm your rightness. Well, we don't earn salvation. But, oh, I'm telling you, what obedience does is marvelous. We just have to obey him. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We have to obey the Lord's will if we expect to be saved from our sins. Our plea for you tonight is that if you're outside of Christ, that you'll become a member of the Lord's church tonight. And if you're a member of the church, then be strengthened in your calling that you've done what the Bible said. And now let's go teach others.